This podcast is brought to you by Monetary Gold. Listeners who open a qualified account will receive up to $5,000 in free gold or silver. To learn more, go to monetarygold.com/grace. That's monetarygold.com/grace.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. It is time for 2A Tuesdays, and 2A Tuesday is sponsored by Fairway Financial and Cape Cod's retirement income specialist, Steve Anzoni. So go to fairwayfinancial.net. Joining us now on the line from Cape Gunwork in Hyannis is Toby Leary. Toby, thanks so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure, Grace. Always happy to be here.
All right, Toby, so last week I totally hogged up all of the time that you were on, and this week we're going to let the callers do the talking. So let's start off strong here. We'll start with Phil. You're first up with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Phil. What's your question?
Hi. So it is a bit of a question, but I wanted to alert people to the fact that recently, I believe at the end of last week or over the weekend, Visa and possibly MasterCard and Amex as well, but I'm not sure on those last two, announced that they would begin giving a different purchase code to firearms dealers, I'm assuming FFLs, anybody that sells ammo. And if you make purchases using your card, they're going to track it and store it separately so that they can report it if they need to, effectively creating an illegal gun registry, but it also specified that they would, at their discretion, decline purchases or attempted purchases at that point without asking people. And
You are correct. It's American Express, MasterCard, and Visa. And I'm glad you brought this up because we'll let Toby react. But I'd also like to point out that I think that when people talk about, you know, moving everything towards digital money and kind of cryptocurrency and all of these other forms of currency, this is part of the reason why you should be very hesitant about that, is because it's a scary thought that you could have the money to buy something, but that the person working at MasterCard or American Express could decide that you shouldn't buy it, that you don't need it, that they don't want you to have it. So I'm going to let Toby react, Phil, and then we'll come back for the second part of your question. Go ahead, Toby.
Well, this is a great picture of what's been happening in our country for a long time, and it is a full frontal and, you know, a total outright blitzkrieg on our gun rights. And government is very good at outsourcing things that are beyond the scope of their powers, just like the government has outsourced the censorship of political opponents and certain ideas and certain narratives to big tech companies so that they can limit their free speech. They've done the same thing in this case, and they are now outsourcing gun control to a financial institution. All three, like you mentioned, have signed up on this at the urging of Governor Hochul in New York. And I know Elizabeth Warren was a big part of this, and Gabby Giffords from the gun control group. So what's at stake here is, I'm sure, number one, more people will just start using cash. But number two, it's another layer in their attack on our gun rights. And you're right, it does create an illegal gun registry. It also creates this, how many times have you been on vacation or something and you go to make a big purchase and it declined it, and it's a big inconvenience to say, oh, no, I'm traveling, and you got to get, you know, make a call. So here they could decline your purchase for a firearm at a gun store, and you'd have to go through extra hoops and, you know, explain to a financial institution that you are trying to purchase a firearm, which is well within your constitutional rights. And I think personally, it's similar to what happened under the Obama administration with Operation Choke Point, when they reclassified gun industries, the firearm industry, as a high-risk industry like pornographers or strip joints or medical marijuana institutions and gambling casinos, et cetera, et cetera. And so when they reclassified them, they banned basically national financial institutions from giving loans and bank accounts and lines of credit to the firearms industry. So this is just another brick in the wall of what they're doing to try to further prohibit your free exercise of a constitutionally protected right.
Very good, Toby. And Phil, did you have a second part of that question?
Yes, I was wondering, you're obviously more intimate with the industry, but I'm fairly intimate with the community. And this is why I'm not a full-blown libertarian, because they'll end up saying, oh, private companies can do whatever they want. But these are, at this point, quasi-government entities. And so what options do we have, aside from just using cash, to kind of combat these things? Because you can't just cancel your credit cards. Like, that's all of the major credit card companies, and you need the credit line for umpteen other things. So what kind of options do we have? Because they keep trying to move us to digital currency, like Grace pointed out. So, you know, any suggestions for what we can do to fight it?
Well, I do think cash is the way to fight it now at this point. Don't, you know, if you can not give your money to companies that continually restrict your rights, I think it's a good idea. But, you know, I know they're monstrous companies. They're probably not going to be hurt if they don't get the little 3% on the $700 purchase you make or whatever it is. But on the other hand, we are a big voice as a community and as a the Second Amendment community at large. And if we just stop using their services, it might have some impact. But cash, maybe there is a way to use cryptocurrency that is still somewhat decentralized. But I know there's a lot of push to even centralize the cryptocurrency. But it's something we'll look into in the future. But at this point, cash. I've taken gold and silver as a form of payment in the past. It is a little bit inconvenient, but it's still kind of fun to do. But that, to me, is the only the last resort you have because of this outsourcing of government restrictions to a, and it, they can say, oh, this is an arm's length deal. Like, the government isn't restricting without the passage of law or a constitutional amendment. They're just pawning it off onto a financial institution. Hopefully it won't stand. Hopefully there'll be enough pushback and enough, congressmen that'll challenge this, that they'll back down eventually, like they did with Operation Choke Point.
All right, let's go to Frank. You're next up on 2A Tuesdays. You're speaking with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. Go ahead, Frank.
Thank you, Chris, for taking my call.
Of course.
Anyway, I have a question. I just got my gun license, and it says here, Class A large capacity license to carry firearms. What does that mean?
That means that you, it's kind of funny, it's very confusing, and the sad thing is you just went through this whole process and you already have questions. The day you get your license, you're like, what does it mean? And that's how Massachusetts loves it. They love to muddy the waters and make it as confusing as possible, and probably in some cases even try to make you a felon in waiting. So you would think by what your license says that you could buy any gun that has a large capacity magazine. But the problem is magazines were effectively banned permanently in 98, even though today's the anniversary of the federal assault weapons ban that Massachusetts made permanent in 98. But in 1994, on September 13th, the federal assault weapons ban banned the manufacture and possession of any magazine that is over 10 rounds. So for you to have a large capacity magazine, it has to have been made prior to September 13th, 1994 in Massachusetts. So if you have the license that you have, then you can possess a magazine that was owned, manufactured prior to that date. So it's called pre-ban magazine. So there you have it. And there's also another whole definition of large capacity rifle or pistol. So if a weapon is capable of accepting a magazine that holds over 10 rounds, then it can be considered a large capacity weapon. So that's what that license allows you to do. And basically anyone in the state now, as far as I know, with the new regulations that have come out since the Bruin decision, can own a large capacity magazine. with a license to carry. So hopefully that answers your question, Frank. I know it's clear as mud and very confusing, but you can possess large capacity magazines, but they had to have been manufactured prior to that date.
All right, Frank, thank you for the call. The number, if you want to call in, is 844-500-4242. We'll be taking calls for the rest of the hour with Toby Leary. Paul, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, guys. How you doing today? Thank you for taking my call. My question to you is, what happens or what do you do when someone who has a criminal record is able to purchase or able to get his license to carry here in Massachusetts?
I'm not sure what you mean. You're saying if somebody has a criminal record.
Okay, so I worked with this guy, right? He was a drug addict. He was arrested for DWI, arrested for assault and battery. I ran into him the other day, and he's got his license to carry now.
So are you asking, like, what's a way to alert people if you don't think someone should have their gun?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Like, who do I call to be like, hey, this guy, you know, I don't know how.
Yeah, that's a valid question. Toby, didn't you tell me once that you sometimes have had people where you are worried about their mental stability? Like, what would someone do in that situation, whether it be just a random person or, you know, a loved one, and you think maybe they're not the person who should be carrying a gun?
Well, I think there are two separate issues here. I don't want to confuse the 2 points, but what Paul is talking about is somebody who's been arrested for driving while intoxicated or, you know, might have been a drug addict at one point in his life or something like that. And he feels, to my understanding, he feels he shouldn't have a gun. But the one thing I need to point out here is being charged with something and being convicted are two different things. So if you have been charged or arrested for drunk driving but not convicted, that doesn't make you a prohibited person. So you need to, and a lot of people don't go around saying, hey, I'm a prohibited person. I've been convicted of such and such, which, you know, so just, you know, you might know a little history about someone, but you might not know what the final outcome of their case was. There's lots of people that change and never get their rights restored, even though they're good, productive members of society, which is a tragedy, just like the people who may have slipped through the cracks a little bit and, you know, done some bad things in their past, never been convicted on it, and are still not considered a prohibited person. So I assure you one thing, that person has gone through the ringer if he has got his license to carry, and has been, you know, they've checked, background checked him in the state and local law enforcement agencies. So, and every time he goes to buy a gun, he's checked again. So there's a huge database that checked him every which way to Sunday. So that means he's probably not a prohibited person. There's really nothing you can do about that. And you can tell everyone you want, but it doesn't really matter. They're not a prohibited person. And so what you're talking about, Grace, is like more of a concern from a community and a family standpoint, from someone who might be a threat to themselves or others. And being a friend and a brother or a sister to that person and getting them the help that they need. I have had people call me and say, hey, please don't sell this person a gun. They're not in a good mental state right now. And we've, you know, listened and heeded. I don't have to sell anybody a gun. So if I have some knowledge of somebody who's really looking for a way to hurt themselves, then I probably would not sell them a gun. The other thing is, if somebody is a suicidal person, unfortunately, the gun is just one of the many tools at their disposal. We've had 4 people attempt to jump off the Sagamore Bridge just this summer alone. 2 people, I think, succeeded, and 2 people were able to be talked out of the situation. So I'm just saying that gun is a tool that can be used for good or for bad. We as an industry would love to see a reduction in the outcomes of, you know, either gun violence or suicide by firearm. And we're doing a huge amount of work in that space to see a very large reduction of those, those unlawful outcomes with a firearm, if you will. So we can do more, and we are continuing to do more. But honestly, it takes rolling up your sleeves and getting your hands dirty a little bit and really being a brother and a helper to those that need it.
Toby Leary, we thank you so much for clarifying that. It's a very important distinction, and I'm glad that you have, you know, the experience and the wherewithal to kind of lead us in the right direction here, because that could have been a very easy thing to conflate. When we come back, we'll take the rest of your calls. We've got a lot of people on the lines. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. It is Tuesday in the 2 o'clock hour. That means we do 2A Tuesdays with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. He can answer all of your Second Amendment questions. And we're going to get right back to the callers here. Let's go to Jim. You're next up. What's your question for Toby, Jim?
Hi, Grace. Hi, Toby. I have a question about transferring a firearm. I want to buy a shotgun from a friend. I have my LTC. I'm not sure if he does, and I'm wondering if we can do that private sale or if we have to go through a dealer.
If they have an LTC or an FID card, you can do it private sale. You can jump on the mass gun transaction portal by Googling EFA10, like E as in Echo, F as in Frank, A as in Apple, and then 10. So EFA10, and it'll bring you to the gun transaction portal. You put the seller information, the buyer information, the gun information, and print out a form for each of you. If he does not have a license, maybe he moved here from out of state or something and never got his license to carry or his FID card, then it would have to happen at a local gun store. So just bring the gun down, and if you're licensed, you can transport the gun. And then they'll just put it on their books and then basically sell it to you. They'll charge a transfer fee for that. There's no fee for using the portal on the state website. So that's how you do it legally, the two ways you can do it.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Let's go to Brett. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show. What's your question, Brett?
Hi, Toby and Grace. I live in the state of Maine. I know it's a right to carry state. I have my permit up here. And my question is, I'm planning on taking a cross-country trip in the future.
Yep.
And the gun I would like to take with me for self-defense, I have a Kel-Tec sub-2009mm, which is a folding long gun. It fits nicely in a backpack. It's a great gun. And my question is that considered a long gun? Or is it considered more of a pistol type of thing? And will it be looked at differently in different states?
Toby, you've got about 15 seconds.
All right. I don't believe it's looked at any differently. It is definitely a long gun. It's a rifle. And just because it folds in half doesn't change the clarification of it. So it should be good to go. Just be careful in featureless states like New York and California.
All right, awesome job. We'll be right back. We got full lines. We're going to get to all your calls real quick when we come back. Stay right there. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Everyone, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. It is Tuesday, and it is the 2 o'clock hour, and that means we're talking to Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. If you have a question for Toby, just call in. It's 844-500-4242. Let's go to Nick. You are next up with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Nick.
Hello, Grace. And,
hello.
Toby, how you doing?
Good. What's your question?
Can you hear me? My question is simply this. I'm referring back to one of the original calls that called up and was talking about a large capacity gun. So I reside in Massachusetts, but I have a house in Maine. And I was wondering if I purchased a magazine that doesn't conform to the Massachusetts laws, which I can in Maine, am I allowed to bring that down into Massachusetts legally, or is that still a situation where you have to be careful about not bringing it into the state?
Yeah, in the eyes of the state, Nick, you'd be committing a felony, even though your license says you can legally possess a large-capacity magazine because they've been banned in federally in 94 and then statewide in 98. I know this ban has just been challenged in court, so hopefully it makes its way through the court system pretty quickly. But until then, you've got to leave the mags up in Maine, where freedom, you know, where the life, the way life should be. You got to leave them up there. And you can go visit your magazines whenever you drive up to Maine, but you have visitation rights. But unfortunately, when you're down here in Massachusetts, our government has looked down upon you and said they're not safe for you to own, and they don't trust you with them. So there you have it. Until that's challenged in court, you have to have pre-banned mags, and that's it, unfortunately. But hopefully that'll all change now that it's been challenged. So it all takes time, but I hope in the next couple of years we'll be able to own all standard capacity magazines.
All right. Thank you for the call, Nick. Jack, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. What's your question for Toby, Jack?
Yeah, your show and Toby. Toby, I got a quick little question to ask you. I live in a small town, Massachusetts. I want to apply for my license to carry. I do have some legal issues probably from 30 years ago. Now, would the chief of police kick that right out? And then do I have an option to lawyer up and take it to a judge or something?
It depends what the legal issues are. If you've been convicted of a crime that you could be in prison for more than 2 years, whether or not you actually did the time, then you're considered a prohibited person in the state. And depending on what the offense is, yes, at some point you could get a lawyer and have that case reopened and maybe have a favorable judgment brought about. So I would definitely consult with a good Massachusetts attorney, Keith Langer, Jason Guida, or Andrew Kuchar. One of those guys should be able to help you out.
All right. Thanks for the call, Jack. Let's go to Rich. You're next up. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, Toby. Hi, Grace. Hey, a quick question about Bull Armory out of Israel. Do you know if that, obviously, it probably isn't mass compliant, but you know much about that firearm platform?
It's a 9mm 1911. What was the name of it? Bull Armory, G-O-L?
Bull, B-U-L.
Oh, B-U-L. Sorry, I didn't hear you. I'm not really familiar with it, to be honest with you. I know that Israel has a bunch of guns, you know, like even IWI and imports firearms that aren't mass compliant. So I haven't really tracked them very closely. There's so many good 1911 companies out there right now. They look like a very good, high-quality gun, but I have never held one or shot one or have any firsthand knowledge or experience with it. But they do appear to be a very high-quality gun. And Israel, generally speaking, makes some really good guns. So if it interests you, I'd say go for it. I don't think you'll go wrong. The price point on them seems pretty reasonable, and I bet they make a fine firearm.
All right. Thank you, Rich. Dave, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. You're speaking with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Go ahead, Dave.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Just been seeing a lot of videos and a lot of people complaining about the solvent canisters being used as silencers. Can you explain that to me?
Yeah.
The ATF knocking on people's doors.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of funny. Like, it goes back a number of years, actually. This is probably going back close to 10 years. There was a bunch of people that sold these things they call solvent traps, and they have a thread pitch on them that screws onto a firearm or onto something else, and they're designed to basically empty out your oil filter or a fuel filter or something into. But conversely, they screw onto the threads of a commonly owned firearm, and when you shoot through it, it acts as a suppressor because it's built the same way. So they would sell them to you right on Wish.com or whatever website comes up in your Facebook feed every 2 seconds, and you know, you could buy them for $29.99. And then the ATF started paying attention to it and knocking on people's doors saying, hey, we understand you bought these. And, you know, we're here to take possession of it. And people are like, well, why would you take possession of something I bought legally? And they're like, well, because we know you're using it like a suppressor or a silencer without having paid the $200 tax stamp and registering it, et cetera, et cetera. But they're making a bunch of assumptions. And so there's all kinds of video out there of people who basically tell the ATF to get off their porch, come back with a warrant, and or in some cases they'll surrender them. But, you know, it was probably a end around in many ways, you know, for people who wanted to buy parts and build them themselves or build a suppressor or whatever. And obviously if you do that with the intent of putting on a firearm, you've committed a felony, and you'll have serious legal ramifications, because one thing we know about these government agencies, they're willing to throw the book at the generally law-abiding person if they make a slip-up or an error in violation of the NFA, which is the National Firearms Act. We talked about it on my radio show a couple weeks ago about a guy down in Florida, a guy named Mejia, who worked for a police department as a dispatcher for many years, had a great reputation, showed up to work on time every day, and he put a stock on a pistol, which would be a very similar violation of the what you're talking about with the solvent traps. And he was convicted and found guilty, and he's going to do 21 months in federal penitentiary for attaching a stock to a pistol. So, you know, the penalty for these type of crimes or violations is catastrophic, and it will ruin your life and make you a prohibited person for life. So I highly recommend you steer clear of it. And if you have bought one, might want to contact a lawyer if a ATF agent shows up on your doorstep. So unfortunately, this is where they're really leveling their sights at, is gun people and responsible gun owners that may or may not have willingly or knowingly gone afoul of the regulations or law. And instead of, you know, the violent felons on the street buying guns on the black market and putting them away for a long period of time, they'd rather put away husbands and fathers and kids and, you know, who have a victimless crime. So, unfortunately, that's the day and age we live in.
Okay, let's go to Joe. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys. Nice job, Grace, as always. And
thank you.
Toby, thanks for, yeah, no problem. Thanks for taking my call, guys. Toby, I bought a Walther's pistol some time ago in New Hampshire at a smaller gun shop, and it's a nice pistol. Comes with a European holster. I think it was a German cop's pistol back in the 80s. Somehow it made its way over here to the United States. I'm looking to downsize a few of my guns, and, you know, I don't have any of the original paperwork from the gun shop. So would you recommend that if I'm looking to sell it, to go back to the original owner where I bought it, where the serial number will be on hand? Or can they just trace that if I go to a gun shop to say, look, I'd be interested in selling this pistol. I either just want the cash or I'd like to upgrade to a 1911-45 pistol.
Yeah. Are you still in New Hampshire?
That's correct, sir.
Or are you in? Okay. Yeah, in New Hampshire, you don't have to worry about it. They don't trace guns. They don't register guns there. That only happens behind the Iron Curtain in places like Massachusetts and New York City, et cetera. But so really, there's no law that would prohibit you from selling that to another individual. Or, yes, you could trade it in at any gun store. They log it in on their books, and then they'll sell it to the next guy, and they do the background check whenever they do the next sale of that gun. So there's really nothing you have to worry about. You don't have to prove it's your gun or anything like that. If it's your gun and it's in your possession, you can then sell it on as a private individual sale, or you can take it to a local gun shop and trade it in or consign it, or, they might outright purchase it from you. So there's really no other paperwork necessary.
All right. Thank you, Joe. And our last caller, John, you're up last with Toby Leary. Go ahead, John.
Hey, how's it going? I just had a quick question about out-the-front assisted knives. Someone told me you can own them in mass as long as you have your LTC. Is that true? That you know of?
You know, that's not really my area of expertise. I've heard the same thing, that if you have a license to carry, you can have Springer assisted knives. But I don't believe that to be true, even if for collecting purposes. However, I think the state has a serious Second Amendment case on their hand if they're going to charge someone with possession of a knife that is out the front or a spring assisted. So I would, the firearms law does not say, you know, the LTC or FID card does not say anything about it. I think you can own them in your home for, private collecting purposes, but I would check with a lawyer on that. And I know you can't carry them, that's for sure. So, I don't know. I'm no lawyer, so I would check before you buy. But I think they have a serious constitutional problem on their hands. The state does, if they're going to restrict that type of knife from being sold. But good luck with that one, John. I'm not 100% sure on that.
All right, Toby, tell people where they can find you, where they can swing by Cape Gunworks, and where they can look at all of your stuff online.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Grace. And we have a huge announcement today. It just so happened that we are now shipping ammunition in Massachusetts, and we have free shipping on any orders over $300. You can always shop online at capegunworks.com or come into the store here in Hyannis. You can sign up for a class and get your license to carry or your FID card. We'd love to see you and show you around, show you the state-of-the-art shooting range in our pro shop and help you with a class. And you can always tune into our show Rapid Fire on Tuesdays. We record at 4 p.m. and it airs on the weekends. So look forward to some more big announcements coming up in the future, but that's it for now. So we'll see you next time, Grace.
Thank you very much, Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. We really appreciate it. Global unrest is battering the food supply chain and the energy markets, and it's incumbent on you to be prepared. So get ready with ReadyWise. Go to ReadyWise.com and use code Howie10 to get 10% off your next purchase. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you support New York's SIT? Standing is tiring. Act.
Yeah, so this bill has got a lot of people talking because it reminds people of the Seinfeld episode where George is trying to help the security guard get a chair so that he can sit down, and then he ends up falling asleep, and then he's not paying attention when people come in and rob the clothing store.
Let me just say this. It is inhumane to make a man stand on his feet in one spot for 8 hours a day. Why shouldn't he have a chair?
Well, what about criminal activity? He's got to be alert.
Well, he can't jump out of the chair? How long does that take? Here, look at this. Here, watch. Criminals! Boom! I'm up! Stop it! Stop it! Stop it!
Now, it specifies that this would not be for security guards. It says this would be for, you know, store clerks, cashiers who want to sit down. And I stand by the fact that I've done jobs where I've been on my feet. And the entire time I was on my feet, I was thinking, I could be doing this sitting down. There's no reason for me to be on my feet doing this. It was more just something in the management. They wanted the hostess on her feet. They thought that represented the restaurant better or something. BS. I could have been sitting down. So I support people who have to stand, and especially people who need orthopedic shoes who didn't have them at the time, and then it did a number on their arches. So yes, I support the SIT Act. I think it's a good thing to let people sit down.
Just 17% of the audience agrees with you. 83% says, stand up, you lazy hippies.
Spoken like people who have never had to stand for 8 hours, okay? I'm sure all those people voting are sitting down while they're voting. I bet they're sitting in their chairs while they're voting. Bunch of hypocrites. One other thing I wanted to add in here before we go to break, Jared. Oh, Joe Biden's having this party today to celebrate the Inflation Reduction Act because irony is completely lost on him. So the inflation report comes out, it's 8.3%, and he says, we're going to have a party talking about inflation. And so because of this party, I thought, I'm a little late now, but I thought I would help them out. For food, they should really try to highlight food that is less expensive because of inflation. And I did a quick Google search. Here's some options. At this barbecue on the South Lawn, whatever kind of party it is, here's what they can have. They could have some sliced up tomatoes, some slices of cheese, and some cans of tuna. And that would be a good Inflation Reduction Act meal.
Are you kidding? This administration is going to make it potluck.
Ugh, probably. 844-500-4242. We'll talk about inflation and the Dow when we come back with Howie Carr. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley is pure Americana.
I'm so off the cuff. I'm so unpredictable. And I have a leather bomber jacket. I'll take your question anyway, kid. An American
girl. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Stand in the place where you were.
I was just talking to the VIPs in the studio. I said, I'm not opposed to jobs where you have to stand up, but you have to be moving around. It's standing still that drives you crazy when your knees are locked. The car crossover is brought to you by Toyota of Portsmouth, offering simple cash. Toyota of Portsmouth will buy your current vehicle with no obligation to buy from them. They want your vehicle, any maker model. You can get more info at toyotaofportsmouth.com, where Howie and I will be. We'll be at Toyota of Portsmouth this Friday, broadcasting live from 12 to 6. So you can come see us, come see both of our shows, and check us out. We'll be at Toyota of Portsmouth on Friday. Howie Carr is in the studio now. Howie, thanks so much for coming on the show.
I can't wait for the celebration to begin at the White House.
I know, you're lucky. They timed it out just for you.
The Inflation Reduction Act.
Celebration.
Yes, the stock market's down 1,100 points today. And, you know, think how bad inflation would be if we didn't have the Inflation Reduction Act. Probably be like, what, 15, 18% instead of only being 8.5%.
Do you want to thank the president?
Thank you, Mr. President.
America is back.
I mean, even for Joe, Howie, this is obnoxiously out of touch to host this party on the South Lawn the day these numbers come out and take a victory lap. That's what he's going to do.
What were they going to do? I mean, I always thought that they got a heads up on these numbers. I thought, you know, that this would be a good time for him to, you know, maybe leave early for the funeral celebrations. It's only 6 days away to the funeral, right? So maybe he could just, you know, glad hand a little bit and, you know, go to Stonehenge or something, visit the old sod, you know, do anything. Just get out of town after this kind of disaster is unfolding.
Yeah, and to make matters worse, they're saying an Amtrak strike is coming soon. Could things get any worse for Joe Biden? Stay tuned for tomorrow's show to find out. Howie Carr is coming up next. He's got a lot planned for you. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.